Our epistle lesson comes from Ephesians chapter 3, titled Paul's Ministry to the Gentiles. This is the reason that I, Paul, am a prisoner for Christ Jesus for the sake of you Gentiles. For surely you have already heard of the commission of God's grace that was given me for you, and how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I wrote above in a few words, a reading of which will enable you to perceive my understanding of the mystery of Christ. In former generations, this mystery was not made known to humankind, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That is, the Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel, I have become a servant according to the gift of God's grace that was given me by the working of his power. Although I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to me to bring to the Gentiles the news of the boundless riches of Christ, and to make everyone see what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things. So that through the church, the wisdom of God in its rich variety might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose that he has carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have access to God in boldness and confidence through faith in him. In our gospel lesson, comes from Matthew chapter 2. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men, or magi, from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising, and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The story of the three wise men is an old one, maybe a little too familiar to us from being retold every year at Christmas. But let's try to see it with new eyes. First, imagine yourself as one of the Magi. I'm sure you all know this, but there were not necessarily three Magi. There were three gifts, so we assume three people. The Magi were priests, probably Zoroastrian, and also kingmakers. Zoroastrianism is an ancient Persian religion that reveres one god, Ahura Mazda. The Magi were learned men who studied nature, looking for signs of their god working in the world. They found a sign, a star that indicated the birth of a great king, the king of the Jews. Persians knew about Jews, but maybe they didn't know all the details. kind of like what we know about Islam or Buddhism. But they knew that something important was happening. One of their jobs was to choose a king for their own people, so they decided to go and honor the newborn king of the Jews. They traveled to the region where the Jews lived and sought the leaders who should know what was going on and should be able to help them. Now imagine yourself as one of the scribes. They were scholars, people who studied the Hebrew scriptures. The Torah, which is the first five books of the Bible, has the law and some of the deep history, while the prophets, from Isaiah to Malachi, speak to specific events. The scribes would study these scriptures and try to apply them to contemporary problems. They knew that Micah had foretold the birth of a great king in Bethlehem, but they didn't know when. They were wrapped up in their scholarly studies and didn't pay attention to signs in nature. They were ready, though. When someone noticed something, they were ready to interpret it and give it the right scriptural context. Herod had yet a different perspective. He was a ruler. He wasn't a scholar and probably wasn't a particularly religious man. He didn't pay much attention to the details of scripture, but he knew that God's revealed word to the Israelites was important to his subjects. So he kept the chief priests and scribes handy. He knew a problem when he saw one, and when the Magi arrived, boy, did he see one. A new king, someone to rival his throne. Whether or not he believed the words of Micah were relevant, and whether or not he believed that the Magi had seen a divine sign, he knew that the Jews would believe that. And so he used his knowledge of human nature to manipulate the truth and the revelation of its truth, of the truth. Epiphany, which we celebrate today, it's actually January 6th, but this is the nearest Sunday, so we're celebrating today. Epiphany is a synonym for revelation. We celebrate the day when Jesus was revealed as God's anointed one, which in Hebrew is the Messiah, or in Greek is the Christ. Magi were kingmakers, just like the prophet Samuel. And so, like Samuel, they went to Bethlehem to find out who God favored. When they found Jesus, they anointed him King of the Jews, a title that would stick with him up until the day of his death on a cross. In the nativity narratives of Matthew and Luke, we read that God revealed Jesus' divine nature in many ways to diverse people. First, he revealed it to Jesus' parents to tell them how Mary would become pregnant and who their son would be. Then, on the night when he was born, angels appeared to shepherds to give them good news of great joy that a Savior had been born for them. And then finally, God's message of a new king and a new kind of kingdom was revealed to foreign Gentile priests of a different religion, and through them to the religious insiders and the ruling class of Judea. One of my core beliefs is that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, the path to wholeness in God's eternal kingdom, both here and hereafter. But another of my core beliefs is that I cannot control who receives God's wisdom or how. God chooses. God's revelations come through the study of Scripture and also through experiences in God's creation and through interactions with the people that God loves, which is everyone. God revealed the truth to the ancient Hebrew people, but also to people around the world and throughout history. Because God's ultimate truth is unknowable from any one perspective. There's an old parable from India that you have probably heard. A group of blind men heard that a strange animal called an elephant had been brought to the town, but none of them were aware of its shape and form. Out of curiosity, they said, "We must inspect and know it by touch, of which we are capable." So they sought it out, and when they found it, they groped about it. The first person whose hand landed on the trunk said, "This being is like a thick snake." For another whose hand reached its ear, it seemed to be like a fan. Another person whose hand was upon its leg said, "The elephant is a pillar like a tree trunk." The blind man who placed his hand on its side said that the elephant is a wall. Another who felt its tail said that it was like a thick rope. And the last felt its tusk, stating the elephant is that which is hard, smooth, and like a spear. We are like one of those blind men. We can know God through Jesus, but Jesus was born a Jew in Roman-occupied Judea and raised in Roman-occupied Galilee 2,000 years ago. God's revelation through the person of Jesus of Nazareth was limited by the ability of Judeans and Galileans to understand. The Magi give us another perspective, but still one that is limited. If we want to truly understand God, we need to be open to wisdom from many sources. One way to do that is through interfaith dialogue. Our campus ministry, Common Call, is part of the Campus Ministries Association. The headline event for CMA every spring is the Interfaith Dialogue. We strive to get a variety of Christian perspectives, as well as engaging with other religions. We're usually successful at engaging with Muslims. Sometimes we get Buddhists and Hindus and atheists. I have found discussions with non-Christians to be more illuminating and satisfying than, say, arguing with Christian fundamentalists about the literal truth of Genesis 1. We are all striving to be who God wants us to be and to discern how God is working in our lives, whether we revere Jesus Christ or Allah or Buddha or Vishnu. Now, I don't believe that all religions are equally valid, but I do believe that God's revelation can come in many forms to many people. Last Sunday, the world lost Bishop Desmond Tutu. Tutu was an Anglican bishop who was in the center of the anti-apartheid movement that transformed South Africa. He was a devout and committed Christian, but he worked closely with Nelson Mandela, who was at best a tepid Christian, sometimes described as a Christian humanist, who drew deeply on the indigenous African concept of Ubuntu. Now, Ubuntu itself is pretty well aligned with Christianity. It is the belief that an authentic individual human being is part of a larger and more significant relational, communal, societal, environmental, and spiritual world. It sounds a lot like the beloved community described by Isaiah and lifted up by Christian leaders like Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Tutu also worked closely with the Dalai Lama, the spiritual leader of the Tibetan people and the world's most prominent Buddhist leader. Tibetan Buddhism is more of an atheist philosophy than a religion in the sense that its adherents do not worship any gods. Rather, they seek enlightenment, which is the elevation of the self into the godly realm. And yet the Dalai Lama and Bishop Tutu worked closely for decades, learning from each other about the path to wholeness and holiness. I highly recommend the Book of Joy, which is the product of an extended interview with these two holy men, giving different yet congruent perspectives on how a person can attain joy in their life. Let's return to the story of Epiphany. The chief priests and scribes thought that they had the whole truth, the only revealed message from God. Yet they were unable to see God's revelation in the stars, which the Magi correctly interpreted. Herod didn't know much about either scripture or heavenly bodies, but he did know people. And it took all three perspectives to arrive at the truth of Jesus' birth. In the same way, we need a variety of perspectives to understand how God continues to work in the world. We cannot on our own completely understand God because we cannot construct a box big enough to contain God. Anytime we think we have fully described God, we have simply projected our own prejudices and misunderstandings onto the divine. Anytime we think we know who is in and who is out, who is favored and who is not, we have allowed our limited human knowledge to corrupt God's expansive message of love for all people. I have it on good authority that a conservative church in town has preached that we are struggling because we allow women in leadership, including ministers of word and sacrament. But here's a little bit of my story as to why I'm a member of this church. When we moved to Rolla, we decided to find a church where my family could be comfortable. I had one non-negotiable requirement. They must allow women in the pulpit because my sister is a United Methodist pastor. So that immediately eliminated most of the churches in Rolla. I did a little research and determined that this church was in a denomination that ordains women, so I gave it a try, and the rest of our story is how we were treated when we got here, the way we were welcomed and loved. We have a message of inclusion, a message of equality, and a message of hope for our community. I would guess that more than half of our city's residents are unchurched, and that many of those only know about Christianity from the media. They don't know about churches that welcome everyone, that elevate women, that allow but do not require their members to vote Republican, that allow members to question authority, and that tolerate a wide range of beliefs about and interpretations of the Bible. I am proud to be part of such a loving community. I believe that there are people in Rolla who need Jesus in their lives, but who have not been able to see Christ's light because of the clouds of exclusion, judgmentalism, authoritarianism, and patriarchy that fill the media depiction of Christianity. Honestly, if all Christian churches were like the ones described in the media, I probably wouldn't be Christian either. Like the Magi, we have seen the light of Christ. We have been called to worship him. We have been drawn into God's kingdom, God's family. We have been given a message of hope, love, joy, and peace. We have been released from our bondage to sin and death. This is good news. This is the best news. Like Paul, we have been given insight into a great mystery, the mystery that God's grace is for the Gentile as well as the Jew, that God's grace is for everyone. The Magi were partially right. Jesus was born King of the Jews, but he was also born King of the Gentiles and the Lord of all creation. He was the eternal Word of God made flesh, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. We are called to shine Christ's light forth so that all people may be drawn to them. We do not and cannot know the whole truth of God's grace. We know only in part. In our humility, we should learn from and not denounce those who have a different understanding of God. But we do have a story to share, a story of love, a story of welcome, a story of membership in God's eternal family, a story of hope and joy. Let us now seek to discern God's will revealed throughout the world as we shine forth Christ's light and draw all people into God's beloved community. Amen.